In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
So in today's Gospel, we hear this passage actually many, many times. And we hear that this situation that happened with the Lord between him and the scribes. So the Lord was serving the people on this day, and he was casting out demons and performing miracles. And the jealous scribes made a very serious accusation against him. So they said, he has Beelzebub. And by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. So this was very, very offensive, and this was something that was a personal attack against the Lord. But what was his reaction? Even though this was something very offensive, and maybe any of us would have responded in a very personal way as well, and we would have attacked as well. It was meant as a personal attack, and it was the pattern and the goal of the Pharisees and the scribes to try to provoke the Lord and encourage him, you know, to have some kind of an outburst so that they can accuse him of something. But instead, the reaction of the Lord was very objective. He calmly spoke to them in parables, and he told them if Satan rises against himself, his kingdom will be divided, and no one enters a strong man's house to plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he's able to do as he wishes. So he pointed out to them the error in their logic. He appealed, instead of, you know, some kind of a emotional response, he appealed to their reason and to their common sense. He removed entirely emotion and passion and dealt instead with the substance of the accusation. So in short, he responded objectively. He responded objectively. Another time, the Lord was struck on the face, if you remember, and he was criticized sharply. But he answered again, very calmly and again objectively. We read in the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Nothing here is personal. There's no attack. There's no evil for evil here. Instead, he used objectivity. So what is objectivity? The dictionary defines it as undistorted by emotion or personal bias, not influenced by personal feelings, interpretations, or prejudice, based on facts and unbiased. So we'll talk today very briefly about objectivity, the problems with it, and also what it says about me when I lack it. So what is the problem here with the lack of objectivity? I reject, first of all, a potentially constructive criticism. Maybe there's something that's said about me that is essential for me to improve myself, but because it's a criticism, I don't look at it objectively at all. But of course, anyone who says something negative about me is automatically my enemy. Maybe also it says something about something that I'm responsible for. Maybe I have some kind of a responsibility, whether it be in church or at work or school, whatever the case may be. What's wrong with the criticism? But no, I don't look at it as constructive criticism, and I don't look at it objectively. Instead, I inject into it emotion and passion. Maybe also I'm rejecting a message sent to me by the Lord himself simply because I don't like what was said, or maybe I don't like the messenger. So sometimes the Lord will use people around us, whether those close to us or maybe those that are not so close to us, in order to give us a message. But because it's a criticism, because I cannot look at things objectively, I immediately respond in a negative way, and I dismiss this criticism. I dismiss this negative thing that's said about me, and maybe it's for my good. Maybe it's for the good of the group also that I'm responsible for. Jonah was an example, actually, of a lack of objectivity. If you remember, when we read, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. This is when the Lord had mercy on Nineveh. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? And therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die. no objectivity here at all, even though he is a prophet of the Most High God. And it is his function and job to do the will of God. And maybe the will of God here was to save the people of Nineveh. But no, there's no objectivity here at all. The people of Nineveh are enemies to the people of Israel. And there's no way at all that anything good or positive can happen to them. Later on in the story, we read about when the Lord prepared a plant to cover Jonah and protect him from the heat of the sun. He says what? And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." Again, there's no objectivity here at all. All this is a plant that grew up in a day and withered in a day. What's the problem here? There's no objectivity at all. He's a very emotional and passionate person. Another problem. Maybe soon, or maybe I start to create mental lists of good and bad people in my life. Those who only say good and positive things to me, they're my friends and other people that I like to have with me. Those that say anything bad about me, they're on my bad list. They're on the evil list. And anything comes from them, I dismiss immediately. King Ahab had this problem with Elijah, the prophet. Elijah oftentimes tried to correct Ahab for his good and for the good also of the people of Israel. But no, that's it. Elijah was on the bad list according to Ahab, and nothing that Elijah would say after that would be considered to be good or positive or constructive. In fact, we read in 1 Kings, "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?'" Everything that he says is a source of trouble to Israel, when actually it was intended for the good of Ahab and the good of Israel. So soon our lack of objectivity causes divisions among us. You know, this is actually one of the lessons of today's gospel, is the lack of unity, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. Maybe because of our lack of objectivity in our dealings with one another, we start to have factions and groups and good lists and bad lists, and oh, this person is bad, this person is good, this person I can accept something from, and this person I cannot, all because of our lack of objectivity. Soon, maybe there are certain people from whom I cannot accept anything. Doesn't matter what they say. Maybe it's absolutely right, but no, because it comes from this person who's on my bad list, I don't have objectivity when it comes to dealing with this person. He's an outcast as far as I'm concerned. Everything that they say is terrible and wrong. Nothing good at all can come from this person. You know, there's an Arabic saying or proverb, I don't know if I translated it correctly, "For my beloved, I'm willing to swallow a pebble, but for my enemy, I wait for his every mistake." I don't know if this is exactly correct or not, but I think you know what saying I'm talking about. Maybe this difference was because of a difference of opinion, just simply a difference of opinion. Sometimes this is in our way of dealing with people. If someone doesn't agree with my opinion, therefore, that's it. He is a bad person. He's on the bad list. Nothing I will accept from this person ever again. It becomes an attitude that develops within me, whether I'm objective or not. Everyone has to agree with me. Everyone has to agree with me, otherwise they're no good. Why is that? Why do I develop this feeling? Because simply I feel like my thoughts and my ideas are the best. There's none better. My thoughts and ideas are the best, and I don't have any objectivity with anybody else's opinion. Or maybe I don't even look at my own opinion and thoughts to judge whether or not they are accurate and correct or not. Also, in the same way, there are some people to us who can do no wrong. I agree with everything that they say. Their opinion to me is the most important one, even if it's wrong. I can't say anything bad about so-and-so because I like him so much. No objectivity here at all. I can never in this way admit that they were wrong about something. And when I lose my objectivity with them, I'm no longer able to be honest with them and help them. Maybe they're doing something that I see is clearly wrong, but no, because they're on my good list and I like them so much, I can't objectively analyze what it is that they're saying or what it is that they're doing. I've lost my objectivity completely. So another problem, I use emotional thinking rather than factual thinking, which is the worst way to arrive at any decision emotionally. We know our emotions change from day to day, from hour to hour for that matter. This isn't the best way to come to any kind of a conclusion. Every comment and every action is a threat to me. You know, somebody just simply says good morning to me, like Abuna Eliya was saying in the revival earlier earlier in the revival. Just simply saying good morning. See how he's saying it to me? You see? You see what he means behind it? This isn't objective at all. This is a problem that develops inside of us. So what does a lack of objectivity say about me? First of all, it shows that I lack some humility. Because what's wrong with criticism? Criticism is something good. It can be good. Again, it can point out something that's a flaw in my life, a flaw in my dealings, a flaw in the way that I'm thinking. Criticism could be something very helpful. A humble person accepts criticism very easily and is thankful for it. But no, a person who's proud lacks this objectivity and immediately dismisses the criticism. Why do I find it hard to hear something negative? It shouldn't be so hard. What's wrong with it? How else am I supposed to correct my way unless someone points it out to me? Maybe it's Abuna, maybe it's a friend, maybe my wife, maybe my husband, whatever the case may be. Why do I allow my pride to interfere with my relationships? This is really the case here. When I allow pride to become a problem for me, I completely lose objectivity. Maybe also it says about me that I have a certain insecurity. You know, a word of criticism must be a personal attack. I can't take it any other way. I don't have, you know, a mature way of looking at things. No, everything is personal. Maybe it also says that I can't let someone get away with saying something negative about me. I have to respond harshly. I can't let them get away with it. How could they say something like this about me and I just sit and be quiet and think about it and consider it? No, I can't do that. I have to respond and respond harshly, maybe even more harshly than what was said. Maybe the person who's saying this criticism to me saying it very gently, very constructively, but no, I have to respond in a harsh way. I completely lose my objectivity. It says also about me that I have an unwillingness to accept that I'm wrong. It's very hard for some people to accept that they are wrong. Very hard. I'm always right. You know, this would affect my confessions. How can I sit with Abuna and say, Abuna, I sinned. Abuna, I was wrong in this. Abuna, I shouldn't have said this. Abuna, I was wrong in the way I talked to so-and-so. I can't say it. I'm not objective. I can't sit and objectively look at myself in the mirror and see the errors. I can't say that I'm wrong. It's an unwillingness to accept that I'm wrong. It's difficult for me to apologize. The two most difficult words that could end any problem is I'm sorry. Actually, that's three words. I am sorry, right? I can't say it. I can't say it. Even though that would be the end of the situation, but I'm unwilling to say that I'm wrong. I have no objectivity. King David wasn't like this. King David, as you know, committed adultery. And he sent the husband of the Bathsheba to the front of the war in order for him to be killed. So adultery. And he committed murder. Right? And Nathan came to him and gave him this story. And at the end, King David said, "What? I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord." For him, it wasn't so hard to be objective and to look at himself and to accept the criticism that was being given to him, and he felt like it was coming as a message from the Lord himself to correct his way. This unwillingness to accept wrong also would cause tension and conflicts between me and others, whether it be at work or at school or in the family as well. I cannot accept that I'm wrong. I cannot be objective in looking at myself. Another thing it says about me is it's difficult for me to put myself in another person's place. If I'm not objective, I only look at things from my own perspective, not from anybody else's perspective. Think about maybe St. Mary. Saint Joseph began to doubt in her. In the seventh month of pregnancy, he began to see that that she was carrying a child. And he began to doubt and wonder, what's happening here? And he wanted to put her away silently. And there's no doubt that there was some problem here in the communication and the relationship, and Saint Mary sensed it. But she was objective. She said, I can't blame him. He doesn't know what I know. He doesn't know that the angel came to me and pronounced announced to me that I would conceive by the Holy Spirit. She didn't explain any of these things to him, but she didn't blame him either and say something like, how could you think this about me? What kind of a family do you think I came from? Why would this thought ever cross your mind? No, she put herself in his shoes and understood objectively what was going on here, and she excused him, and she waited for the Lord to deliver her and to explain her innocence at the end. Maybe it also, it says about me, an inability to see myself in the proper light. If I don't have objectivity, I can never, ever see myself the way God sees me, see myself the way others see me. I have no objectivity. Everything I do is great. I think about maybe the story that Abuna also Eliya in the revival told us about a problem between a husband and wife, and he and some of the priests went in order to discuss the situation. And of course, the wife blamed her husband and said he does this and this, and his problem is this, this, and this for a long time. And Abuna Eliya asked her, could you tell us what are the errors that you do in the relationship? And she thought for a long time, and she said, to be honest, I don't do anything wrong. And that was the end of it. There was nothing that could be done. There's no way to solve this problem if this person is unable to see herself objectively. She cannot see her wrong. She cannot see her error. She doesn't do any error or wrong. That's the end of it. There's no way to do any kind of a reconciliation because of this lack of objectivity. So today, the Lord gave us a very good example of being objective. This skill reveals to us much about ourselves and about our spiritual level as well. May the Lord help us to acquire it and to learn to avoid the prejudices and biases that cloud our thinking and become obstacles in our relationship. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.